Right now, it's always a pleasure to talk with Vicky Santo of the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation. You know, I'm by Wrigley Field all the time because I live near Wrigley, and I see the Ron Santo statue, Vicky, and it just makes me smile every time I go by. Scott Parker is also here. Scott and his daughter and family have benefited by one of the diabetic alert dogs. Vicky, it must make you feel amazing that so much good has come from this nonprofit that you began. Can you talk about it?
You know, it really does. It's so good to talk to you, Steve. I can't tell you how gratifying it is to see families now not have to worry about their children, their sugars going higher, their sugars going low, because they have that dog by their side. And even when you're talking to Scott, I'm sure he will, you know, give you examples of how Mickey has helped Ellie since they had her. And just even when I'm able to meet the families now, which is fabulous. They come to Arizona to pick up their dog, and we go out to lunch, and to see the joy in their faces when they meet their dog, and it just makes me smile. It's just fabulous.
Well, it is fabulous because you're changing lives, in some cases saving lives, quite literally. Sure. let's back up a step or two. How did, and hang in there with us, Scott. I promise I'll get to you. So, how did the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation come to be in the first place?
Well, we all know that Ron was diabetic, and it was very important to him to help other diabetics, and especially children. And many times, you know, fans would call in to the park and say, "Ron, my son was just diagnosed, or my daughter was just diagnosed," and he would have these kids come to the ballpark. He would sit down with them, and he would look them in the eye, and he goes, "This is something you can control, but you have to accept that you have it, and then you go from there." And it was so important to him to help kids with diabetes because they don't get it. They just know they don't feel good, but they don't know why. And so Ron, while he was alive, as we know, he was full-time. I had to, you know, going with him was much of my life. But once he passed on, I thought, well, this was something that was so important to him to help these kids. And I think this will, you know, extend his legacy for quite a long time. So that's why I started the foundation. And it's been 10 years now that we've been doing this. We got our 501c3 in February of 14.
Vicky, it's wonderful that Ron eventually, and it was about time, was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and that speech that you made will be a highlight forever and ever. However,
thank you.
However, that doesn't help other people per se. It's an honor that Ron Santo deserved for what he did, both on the field and also in the broadcast booth. However, what you're doing now is helping other people. And this is what I think will keep Ron's memory alive in a very special way.
Well, thank you. And I hope it will. I just, you know, I'm just grateful for the people who, A, have our dogs, but give back, just as Scott is doing by doing a fundraiser for us. It's that's what keeps us going. And it keeps the people out there aware of the foundation and the purpose of our foundation.
What made you think that, okay, we can do some good to help kids with diabetes using dogs, what amount to be working service dogs? How did you put that together?
Well, this is kind of a crazy thing. I had a dog at the time that was helping me medically, you know, he wasn't a diabetic alert dog, But he was letting me know, it's time to take your pills. It's time to, you know, he would retrieve my phone. If anything happened to me, he would go get my phone and bring it to me. So, or I, you know, he would jump up on me, it's time to take your pills. So luckily all that is in my past. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But I happened to be going to a store that day, a Best Buy, and I had the dog with me, and he had his collar, or he had his bib on, saying, you know, medical alert dog. And this person said to me something about, he said, aren't these diabetic alert dogs fabulous? And I just looked at him. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, oh, yeah, these dogs, my mom trains these dogs to detect when a diabetic sugars are changing. And just put that in my head. And then I started doing some research and finding out that, yes, indeed, these dogs do that. And that was the beginning of the, you know, it took me 2 years to get, Ron had already passed away, but it took me 2 years to get, find the trainer and get the 501c3 and, you know, get our business starting.
You know, I know that you knew about what these dogs could do because you had a dog named Joker who wasn't
right.
a trained diabetic alert dog, but nevertheless acted as such, much to Ron's surprise at some point. Can you tell that story?
Right. Well, Ron was back in the bedroom a long time ago, and Joker, he was a funny dog. He was like a spiritual dog. He read your emotions. So just put that together with Ron, and it's frightening, right? Ron was the most emotional person on the planet, okay? So Joker was kind of hesitant to, you know, warm up to Ron. So anyway, one day he's in the back in the bedroom, and Joker comes to me, and I'm like, what is wrong? What, you have to go out? And I walked to the door and opened. He didn't want to go out. I said, Joker, what is going on? And he goes back to the bedroom. And Ron was in such a low sugar, he didn't know where he was. He was babbling. It was like, and that's the first time a dog ever alerted. And I didn't know what he was doing, but I figured, you know, we realized that we were in trouble there. So that was the beginning of knowing that these dogs truly can do that. And interestingly enough, not only diabetes, but cancer or whatever. And at the end there, when Ron had cancer, right before he was going to go, you know, he had to do chemo, but he was sitting on the couch and Joker came up and just put his foot up on Ron's knee. And Ron looked at me and he goes, he knows, doesn't he? This was before we got the diagnosis of cancer. Hmm. He goes, he knows. I said, yeah. I said, but it doesn't mean you can't do chemo. Doesn't mean we can't do something about this. But it was an amazing trip there with Joker. He was quite the dog.
Well, you are quite the individual to do all that you do and to make the difference you've made. And Scott Parker, who the heck is that? We will find out Scott's part of the story. I promise, Scott, you'll be the first question when we come back here on WGN. And I promise I'm Steve Dale, back with you on WGN. We're talking with Vicky Santo of the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation and a dude named Scott Parker. Scott, welcome to WGN, and I thank you for your patience. But I think the background as to how this organization first became is interesting as well as important. But I think it's just as important to talk with you because you said, I want one of these dogs. And you did get one of those dogs. How did that happen?
Yeah, our daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes 3 years ago. May of 21. And about 2 years ago, she had come to us and said, Mom, Dad, there's these diabetic alert dogs. We should get one of these for our next family pet. And so my wife did some research. And as you and Vicky don't need to be reminded, we looked into it, and it was really cool. And then they got to the price tag, right? And you think about the a full-bred dog, and by the time you put them through all of the rigorous training that goes into one of these amazing service animals, it was just not within our family's budget. So we kind of put that on the shelf, and then my wife was at school and ran into a lady named Melissa Ryan, who has a daughter who was also a recipient of the Ron and Vicki Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation, and she said, you should just apply. And so my wife came home and said, what do you think? And we threw it in, and as luck would have it, I think Vicki called us the next day and said that we had just purchased a dog that we're putting into service, and I think maybe Vicki can tell a story, but I think a family maybe had backed out, and we just happened to be a kind of a perfect match for what we were looking for and for Mickey. And next thing you know, we're signing papers and we're working with Vicki and Gracie, Vicki's trainer. And a couple years later, here we are with a diabetic alert dog as a family dog. It's great.
So Vicki mentioned that you went down to Scottsdale to actually meet the dog. Tell me what that was like and how your daughter bonded with the dog and what that process was all about.
Well, yeah, it's really cool. So so the trainer that works with, as I mentioned, Gracie, that works with Vicki to train all of her dogs, they have a kind of an onboarding process. So you go out and you spend 4 or 5 days with them out in Arizona, and you know, you get to have lunch with Vicki, which is such a hit. But
yes,
that was great, right? But we, you know, it's funny because I cheated. I had actually been out in the Scottsdale area on business a year before, right after Vicki had said, yes, you get the dog. So I was actually able to sneak over and see him a year before and send video back to the family. And so, but we had to wait a good, it was almost 14 months from that point because he was just starting his training. So we all went out there, and just an amazing story. Gracie, we got an Airbnb so that we could kind of learn how to train him in a home kind of setting. So Gracie brought him over, and it was probably adrenaline and some nerves of Ella getting to meet her dog for the first time. But she was crashing, and Mickey came up, and we're kind of doing the introduction, and you know, of course, my wife's taking a video of it. He within a minute or so, he's alerting her. So he's already alerting her. Her Dexcom showing a fairly decent normal Dexcom being like a glucose monitor showing a pretty normal number. So we have her do a kind of a manual prick to see, and sure enough, she was crashing. So within minutes, it was a love at first sight, as they say, Steve.
Wow, that's amazing. Great. And in fact, I think your trainer once told me, Vicki, that in socializing, so the dogs not only have to learn about diabetic alert, and it's fascinating how they're trained for that, but in addition, they have to be exceedingly well socialized because they go everywhere with whoever they're paired with. And she was taking one dog, I think she told me, to church on a Sunday afternoon like today, and the dog alerted to someone who was like five rows or five pews up in the church. And sure enough, that person had a diabetic episode, and this dog was saying, I warn you, this is going to happen to someone the dog had never even met before. Do you recall that story?
That's absolutely true. I mean, it's the scent that comes when the diabetics change. It's kind of a sugary smell, and the dogs are so trained because they're rewarded every time they acknowledge that scent from the time they're puppies. And so it doesn't matter who it is. Now, when closer to the time that they meet their intended recipient, they start alerting specifically to their scent. We have them send a kit to us with this their saliva scent so that the dog is really tuned into them. So what's really cool is when they do meet, when the people come to get their dog, and the, you know, Gracie's there with the dog and she's, you know, showing him the dog just sniffs everybody and he's like, yep, that's my person. You know, it's just, it gives you chill. It really gives you chill.
You know, Scott, today there are glucose monitors. There's other technology that wasn't around in Ron's day, but it sure is around today. Who's better, a dog or that technology?
Let's put it this way. My dad's also a type 1 diabetic, so I grew up, you know, watching type 1 diabetic in the 80s and 90s before any of this stuff existed. So it's all great. But I have another really great story. This happened a couple of weeks ago. My daughter was actually downstairs in the basement. And I had just gotten home from soccer practice, and I was eating dinner. We're all sitting upstairs, and Mickey is driving us nuts at the table, kind of nudging like you would. That's kind of his signal, his alert. And, you know, we were, I was like, is he just trying to get some food scraps here? Like, what's going on? And, you know, we checked the glucose monitor, and she was in a perfectly normal range and pretty flat and steady. And he just, I mean, persistent for like 10, 15 minutes. So finally we called our daughter upstairs and said, hey, let's just prick manually and find out. And sure enough, I think the reading was 61 and going down quickly. And so, and at that point, I believe the Dexcom was still reading in like the normal 80, 90 range. So to answer your question, Steve, if I had to pick one, dog, hands down, he's on it before the glucose monitor. And sometimes it can be up to 20 to 30 minutes before. He has this incredible sense of when things are about, very proactively about to change. It's phenomenal. So I'll take them both, but I will absolutely take the dog, hands down.
Yeah, I've talked about this with Vicky before, and I want your point of view about this. This isn't only for your daughter, but this is, in a sense, for you and your wife as well, because of the peace of mind that you now have, the increased independence that your daughter can have. I mean, she's not driving yet or anything, but how old is your daughter?
She's 11.
Right.
She's going into middle school.
Okay.
This year.
Yeah. But still, as she gets a bit older, she wants to be a bit more independent. And not to mention the cool fact that I have a dog. So can you talk about all that?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I think the whole process of having a diabetic alert dog is amazing. And it is a companion. And Mickey does go to school with her. And you know, just you mentioned just about it being great for my wife and I. I always, when people ask, I liken it to having a newborn at home, and consider it like your first newborn, you know, because by the time you have a couple, you get a little less worried, but you're up all night and you're worried, and are they breathing? And that sense of concern or anxiety or whatever you want to call it, as a parent with a child with that type 1 diabetes, it's permanent. It kind of never goes away.
So right? let me ask you, I don't want to run out of time, and there's a benefit that we need to talk about. We have about 2.5 minutes.
Absolutely.
So tell me everything about it.
Yeah, so we're raising some money to help raise more funds, because as Vicky can tell you, there are more applicants and more kids living with type 1 diabetes out there than there are dogs to go around, and they do cost money to raise. So we are hosting a benefit concert at a beautiful place in Oswego, Illinois, called the Arnmore Farm and Polo Club. They host a concert series, and so the concert series is called Cab Cab. So Cab Cab is short for Cabernet Cabaret. And it's a very popular series. I actually had one last night. And on August 10th, so 2 weekends from now, we are going to do a Cab Cab for a cause, and we're going to have a benefit concert to raise money for the Ron and Vicky Santo Foundation. You can find out all about it at cabcabforacause.com. It's going to be a great night. We've got an amazing opening act. We've got a really popular headline band, and we've got a great wine experience that people will be able to jump into. And then the coolest thing is, people have been to Ravinia. It's a very similar vibe and setting. It's kind of a bring your own party. So bring your own food and your favorite beverage, and bring your chairs, and it's an amazing atmosphere and an incredible serene setting. It's actually a host to a bunch of professional polo matches.
Cool. Give me the website so people can learn more. And what is the ticket price? And again, the date and time.
Yeah. So ticket prices range from $30 to $50, depending. There's like an early entry option if you want to get there and get a little bit better seat. So $30 to $50. Again, August 10th. Gates open at 5:30 for early entries, and first act goes on at 7 o'clock. And you can find out more at cabcabforacause.com.
C-A-B for a cause.com.
You got it.
Okay, cab is the thing you used to wait for on the street. There aren't too many of them anymore. Cab. So cab cab. Do that one more time.
Yep. So cabcabforacause.com.
Perfect. Scott, congratulations on your new dog. Vicky, congratulations on everything you have and the group that work with you have done for so many other people changing lives, actually saving a few along the way. That's not so bad. Ron, I think, how could he not be very proud if he only knew? And maybe he does somehow. Vicki, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. So nice to talk to you.